We got a different piano. God provided this for us, and we are so blessed, and we're blessed to have Miss Ann play it. So we're doubly blessed. All right. Let's open our Bibles. There's two passages I'm going to turn to. One is in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. The other is Matthew chapter 6. I will begin in Luke chapter 11, and then I will be turning to Matthew chapter 6. So you find your place. And in just a moment, I'll begin to read. Luke chapter 11 is just one verse that I want to challenge you with as we begin. It's verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, didn't tell him, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us to perform a miracle, teach us to preach a sermon, teach us to cast out demons, teach us to make much out of nothing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples, and we're your disciples. Would you teach us to pray? You know, when you look at that little, I don't know if it's an adverb or whatever, and I'm not going to ask Krista because she'll probably know and embarrass me because of my lack of English grammar. But teach us to pray. Number one, Lord, teach us to pray. That we ought to be praying. But then, Lord, teach us how. Teach us how. Well, I said Matthew chapter 6 because I'm going back to Matthew chapter 6 and read Matthew's rendering of the very same situation, but it does not include the disciples' question. But it does include what we call the Lord's Prayer. I take a little bit difference with this because it is not the Lord's Prayer. His prayer is John chapter 17. But this is a prayer that he challenged his disciples to follow the pattern of. If anything, we ought to call it a disciples' prayer. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Matthew 6, 9, after this, I'm sorry, go back to verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You will find a very similar rendering in Luke's Gospel chapter 11. And make sure you use the King James Bible, because if you use another one, it'll have some omissions to it. But this is the model prayer. And this is Jesus speaking, saying, when you pray. So in light of the words of the Lord in this context of Matthew's gospel, he expects his disciples to pray, and so we anticipate that. So when the disciples respond in Luke chapter 11, you say, well, that's two separate things. No, it's not. It's the same account, just given with details in one that are not in the other one. And when Jesus would tell His disciples, when thou prayest, they would have said, well, teach us to pray. Because when we get to Luke chapter 11, they haven't read Matthew chapter 6. Now, when we do our New Testament reading, we go through the Gospels. We have read through Matthew, we've read through Mark, and then we get to Luke, and get to chapter 11. Well, we've already read Matthew 6, so He's already taught them. No, He hasn't. And so they request, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, He has admonished them, when you pray. And they said, oh, well, teach us how to. And then He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And that would be more in an imperative sense, as a command. He says, so this, you ask the question, I'm answering, and this is how you pray. Let us pray, and then we'll consider this passage. Father, help us this morning. There is a subject that is so near and dear to our hearts, and yet so often overlooked, so often underused, and that is the subject of prayer. And so help us as believers to reemphasize the importance of prayer and the necessity of the manner in which Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. And taking note from that, may we learn something about the subject of prayer. I know there's veteran Christians in this congregation. There's some that have been saved longer than I have. And they've been in ministry and service for longer than I have. But it's good for all of us to be reminded about the subject of prayer. So help us in that this morning. Speak to our hearts. And may we leave from here better equipped to do what you commanded us to do, to pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Several ways I want you to look at in this subject of prayer. Say, what is prayer? Talking to God. That's what it is, talking to God. You read the book, you read the Bible, and God is speaking to you. When you pray, you are talking to Him. It's called having a conversation. And both of you need to do talking. You need to talk to Him as you let Him talk to you. So spend time in the book, spend time in the Bible, and spend time in prayer. When you have a conversation with one person, it's never comfortable when it's one-sided. You know, when one person monopolizes it, and sometimes you can't get a word in edgewise. And we're not talking about ladies right now. I didn't say anything about ladies right now. But we discussed this, I think, Wednesday night, how that men folk can talk a pretty good storm up too. And sometimes. But we all have been in a conversation with someone where you can't say anything because they are just having a lively time. Well, conversation is better balanced when both people are participating or both subjects or parties are participating. And the same thing when we have discussion with God. We open up His book, and however much you read, you designate how much you read on your regular basis, chapters, verses, however much, and let Him speak to you. And at some point, now maybe you pray first, or maybe you pray afterwards. I pray afterwards, but that's just me. You don't have to do it like I do it. But when you pray, you have allowed Him to speak, and now you're discussing, and He has told you what He wants you to hear. Now you're bringing to His attention what you would like for Him to hear, even though He already knows. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. I was challenged one time. I had a man ask me, he said, well, should we continue to pray for something after we prayed for it one time? God already knows about it. I said, God already knew about it before you asked, before you prayed the first time. And so we continue praying. But let's look at this subject of prayer and how important it is. I said it is often less used than what it should be. I have never heard anybody ever say they prayed too much. I've been saved for 43 years. I've listened to some of the choicest preaching in that 43 years of time. Some of the men that I've been under the sound of their preaching, they were well known among men, but their preaching was outstanding. And I've been in their preaching and listened to missionaries and evangelists, and I've listened to lay people. Never yet have I heard someone say, well, I have a lot of faults, and one of them is I pray too much. Never yet. Because I've never yet found someone who prays too much. I've found plenty of people who pray more than I do. And if you look around or you talk with people, you'll find plenty who pray less than you do. But you don't measure their prayer life and your prayer life by theirs. And it's talking with God and bringing before Him everything. Dr. Rice wrote a book years ago, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. And Dr. Rice was of the position, when you're praying, you're talking to God and you're asking Him for something. And then God provides it for you. And George Mueller, we always talk about his faith in the orphanages over in England. It's an amazing thing for him to ask the blessing over a meal that's not there. He's feeding orphans and they don't have any food in the pantry. He said, Lord, bless the meal that we're going to partake of. Bless the food that we'll be eating. And there's nothing there. And then, in a matter of moments or a matter of minutes, a knock on the door, and there comes a baker or there comes a dairy man or something, and there's sustenance for the children. An immediate response. Now, God doesn't always do that. Rarely does He do it for me. Because I'm the instantaneous guy. I'm the microwave guy. Put it in the microwave for the shortest amount of time, and I want it out. I want it done. Lord, when I say amen, I want this to have happened. I want the knock on the door. I used to hear students talk about needs at Tennessee Temple. And man, some of them college students, and I guess Brother Randy could probably testify maybe up at Hiles Anderson. Man, some of them students, they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. They left everything and went to Bible college. And they prayed and said, well, Lord, my tuition bill is due. The bill for my books is due. And this is due. And I don't have it. And then they'd go to the mailbox at the post office on campus and open up a piece of mail, and there's a check to cover what they didn't have. Man, I said, man, I go to the mailbox 20 times a day. But you expect an answer timely, and oftentimes it is not according to our time, but according to His. But the subject of praying, I want to give you some terms that will outline the subject of praying. Number one, obediently. Lord, teach us to pray. When thou prayest, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So, we pray obediently. Because God expects us to, and God has commanded us to. I mean, not just in Matthew 6, not just in Luke chapter 11, but you'll find it throughout Scripture and a whole lot of Old Testament, a whole lot of New Testament, where the people of God spend time in prayer. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about Paul talking about the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three different times he went to God begging specifically that this thorn in the flesh be removed. And three different times God said no. And then told him His grace would be sufficient. But Paul didn't just pray one time and say, okay, Lord, I told you I want this. I'm asking you to remove this thorn in the flesh. And then go about his merry way. Well, after a while, it didn't go away. He said, Lord, I'm praying that You'll remove this. And goes about his merry. And then he says, it's still not gone. Lord, would You please remove this thorn in the flesh? And God says, no. But what I will tell you is My grace is sufficient for thee. For My strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Apostle Paul realized, He's not taking the thorn in the flesh away. But He's going to give me strength through it. God answered his prayer. Just not the way he expected. But he did pray, and we ought to pray obediently. When you're praying, you're doing what God wants you to do. You say, well, what's that old expression? Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You know, if you're availing yourself of prayer, the devil can't fight that. He can fight a lot of things, but he can't fight when you're praying. Now, he can fight you to hinder you from praying, but pray obediently. Secondly, I'm going to go through these rather swiftly. Pray directly. Our Father, which art in heaven. Who are you talking to? It ain't Mary. It's not Paul. It's not one of the apostles or one of the man-made saints. You do know you're a saint. Because in the New Testament text, a saint means a holy one. It literally applies to a Christian, a believer, and specifically one who's walking with God. But, you know, we're called saints. And so we have no vestige of authority. We just go before the same God. And that's who you pray to directly. We have a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's God. So when we pray, we're not saying, "Oh, in the name of the Apostle Paul, dear God, would you hear me?" Or, "Holy Mary, Mother of God." That's a pointless prayer, I'm sorry. It goes nowhere. Because Mary has no authority to hear or answer your prayers. And nowhere in the Bible does it state that. But it does state, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So I'm talking to God. You heard the little expression of the little girl. I've told you this joke before, so smile when I reach the punchline so that I'll feel better about you. Little girl was asking the blessing at the meal, and she was praying very quietly. When she got done, somebody said, "I'm sorry, sissy, I couldn't hear what you were saying." She said, "I wasn't talking to you." See, you're all smiling politely, and I feel like I've done something. Okay. But the point is, we are talking to God. When we pray aloud, and I've had to challenge myself. I've gone to meetings before. Said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to be a guest preacher." I said, "He may call on me to pray over the offering or open up the service or close the service." It's a courtesy that you often do when a visiting pastor. And I think, let's see, I need to pray so and so. Don't do that. When I'm praying, I'm talking to God, not to impress the other pastor or the people in the pews. And when you're praying aloud, if you're called upon to pray at a ladies' meeting, men's meeting, or a church service, you're not praying to impress us. You're praying to talk to God. That's right. So you're praying directly to God. Praying reverently. Now, I want to park there. I want to stay there forever for the rest of the message, and I can't. But say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You read Isaiah chapter 57, and you'll find out, "He whose name is holy. Hallowed be thy name." By the way, if I say it now, you're going to read it now. I mean, I done brought it up now. It's in your bulletin. There's a little quote in there about the holiness of God and the love of God. And I know you're going to automatically. So, I'll save you the time. Oswald Chambers: "When we preach the love of God, there is a danger of forgetting that the Bible reveals not first the love of God, but the intense, blazing holiness of God with His love at the center of that holiness." Hallowed be thy name. Reverently. I know we have an intimacy with the Father. We can call Him Abba, Father. We can call Him that intimate term, that Hebrew term. It says Papa or Daddy, which means we are on speaking terms with the Creator, the God who created you, the God that saved you, the God that sustained you through the stars out in the heavens. You are talking to Him, and yet you can talk to Him intimately as if He was seated right next to you. That's the privilege we have by being a saint, by being a Christian. The world doesn't have that privilege, but we do. But never forget that when we're talking to this intimate one, we're still talking to God. And He deserves our reverence, a holy awe. You sit and think about that thing. When you go to prayer, you do your morning devotion or evening devotion, whatever you do that, and you bow your head and say, "Dear Lord," or however you begin your introduction, you're talking to God. Ooh, maybe I better bow my head. Maybe I better get on my knees. Maybe I better get on my face. Because that's what you did before someone in that kind of authority, in that culture, in that day. We've gotten so used to it. I remember one time I got so angry. I went to a Christian bookstore, and this has been goodness knows how many years ago, because I ain't been to a Christian bookstore in forever. But I went to a Christian bookstore because somebody had promoted a book by Max Lucado. And so I found the book, and I looked at it, and I read a few things. And I said, I wouldn't read this or give it to anybody else to read. He talked about God as if God was... Who's that guy on the back over the fence in Tim? That Tim the Tool Man. You know, Wilson, you never got to see above his eyes. I feel like... Now, Max Lucado, he's who he is. He's one of the most popular authors and well-known. Everybody knows him and everything. But I read that section in that little book, and I said, you've left out the holiness of God. You have forgotten who you are talking to. You don't talk to him like one of the boys at the game or anything. You talk to him like God. Now, the privilege is you can call him your father. That's the privilege. And so you talk to him reverently. Let's hurry up, because I'll never get finished. Let's pray expectantly. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Expecting God to do what He promised to do. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I want Your will done. I'm expecting Your will to be done. Now, it's going to be. But you're praying in accordance with that. In agreement with that. You want God's will to be done. You want His kingdom to come. Of course, the nation of Israel specifically, but and that's who he's talking to right now, the nation of Israel, but expectantly, then needfully. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. God, I'm going to need your help today. I need bread. I need to forgive. I need forgiveness as I forgive others. I need to be protected so I don't fall into temptation. I need to be delivered from evil. I need this. You do too. Jesus knew what His disciples would be facing. And notice what He said, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. But you're still asking Him. And this is, y'all ever have a hard time understanding why God's doing what He's doing? None of y'all ever have that. You see, I'm going to make you smile on this one, okay? I'm just going to warn you, I'm going to make you smile. Last year, April the 16th, I said, dear God, I'm going to need help next April 15th. Some of you ain't getting that. You file your taxes on April the 15th. On April the 16th, I'm starting to pray for this year. Dear God, this is what I'm going to need. Well, almost a year's gone by and I ain't got it all yet. What does He say? Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, I'm going to give you 365 days in advance. It's not what He said. I wished He had, but He didn't. So I pray for what I need today. Whatever that need may be, I pray for it. And He knows what it is. And forgive us our debts. Dear Lord, I've failed so many times. And Lord, it's no doubt that I need forgiveness. And help me to forgive someone who's offended me. Because I'm going to need help with that too. So we pray needfully, aware that we have needs. Then we pray knowingly. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's confidence. Praying knowingly, knowing that the kingdom belongs to Him. The power belongs to Him. The glory is His. He said in Isaiah, my glory I'll not give to another. So we pray knowingly. But let me give you a few more. You say you've run out of text. But I ain't run out of sermon. I still got some more of that left. But I've run out of text. But let's take a few more principles. Let's pray persistently. In Luke chapter, I think it's Luke chapter 18, Jesus taught a parable and said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never give up. Never give up. I bet if I challenge some moms and dads, some grandmas, grandpas, or whatever you get called by your youngins, I bet if I asked you, I said, do you pray more than once for your kids? Do you pray more than once for your grandchildren? If you got great-grandchildren, you pray more than once for your great-grandchildren? Did you pray more than once for your spouse? Did you pray more than once for your siblings? Did you pray more than once for mom or dad? Did you pray more than once for the special burden that you had for someone? Or did you just keep on praying? You don't quit. You just never stop until God answers. Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. After three times, God said, this is how I'm answering you. He said, you never find Paul saying, I prayed for this four times. Because God gave him his answer. But persistently, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. We've often said, well, that doesn't mean you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days with your eyes closed, walking around, you know, mumbling to God. No, you don't do that. But you ought to be on praying ground to where no matter what time of day it is, you can talk to God. See, we use prayer like that spare tire in your car. You've heard this before. But I mean, it's only there in case of an emergency. Has anybody ever told you, or have you ever used the expression, well, there's nothing left to do but pray? Well, that's not the last option. It's supposed to be the first one. But you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. You don't do that. But I've heard people say, this is hopeless. There's nothing left to do but pray. Well, let's pray then. But we should have been praying the whole time. But, persistently, without fail. You know, my youngins put me on my knees quite often. And I still pray for them. You know, it's why I got what little hair I got and why it's gray and white. That and being married for 40 years. She's not smiling. She said in Sunday school, she said, I can go back just as quick as I came here. But the needs of your family, the needs of your friends, the needs of your church put you on your knees and you continue to pray until God takes care so persistently. James 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How about fervently? Now this is beyond now I lay me down to sleep. You know, my table grace that I was taught was a child. God is great. God is good. Let's thank Him for our food. By His hands we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. So that's what I learned. And that's all right to teach your boys and girls to reverence God and have their meal. That's completely appropriate. But when things get down where the lightning's flashing, the thunder's booming, and the rubber's meeting the road, you ain't praying, now I lay me down to sleep. You're crying out to God. That's where Romans 8 picks up. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You're mouthing the words and you don't know, but you're praying fervently. I mean, you're on fire praying for God. You're praying as if you never prayed before. And we've all been in that spot from time to time. We've all been in that position where, Lord, this is a crisis. This is an emergency. Need you now. And He knows that. And you're praying fervently. You're praying specifically. Now, I'm all for, you know, let's bless the church. But bless the church how? Well, let's bless the church for more visitors. Let's bless the church for new members. Let's bless the church that the preacher can not make so many clerical errors. Now, we're smiling at that one, but I don't need to make those kind of mistakes. I shouldn't. So, let's pray. Specifically, you know, what color car do you want? You say, well, wait a minute. If you're going to ask for one, ask for the color. But what I'm saying is, when you're praying, pray specific. Bless the missionaries. Read their letters and find out what they need. Because when you bless the missionaries, they may need financial support. They may need materials for Bibles or tracts or things of that nature. They may need tickets to get back on furlough. They may need something. You know, there's always needs. Every month, Hope Children's Home sends out a list of specific needs. Well, Lord, bless Hope Children's Home. Well, bless them that they will get several cases of whatever they need. So, and that the missionaries over in Bhutan and Bengal and other places, Manipur, will get tracts because they need them specifically. Thankfully, when you pray, be thankful. You say, well, that's not in that. Well, it's woven throughout the entire lines. Be thankful. You know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be ye thankful. So, pray thankfully. Pray regularly. And I'm out of time. Pray regularly. I didn't have, this verse is not committed to any kind of memory. It should be. But it's not. So I am going to find it. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David said, I'm going to pray three times a day. What's he saying? I'm going to pray all the time. I'm going to pray when I have the chance. When you have a quiet time, whenever that may be. Cut the television off, cut the music off, and pray. You got a couple of minutes, use it in prayer. Remember what Pat said when he was here for a revival? He said, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't have to go to the restroom, he said, I realize I can get up, I can pray for somebody. Or I don't have to get up. He can just lay there and said, pray. Use that little hand thing and pray. You got a few minutes, and believe me, you start praying, you'll probably eventually fall back asleep. But pray regularly, and that needs to be daily. And then pray confidently. He heareth us. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Well, that's an Old Testament promise. Well, then go to 1 John 5 and read the New Testament one. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So pray confidently that the Lord, you know, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. You know God's listening. Now, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if you're prayed up and you're confessed up, you're walking with God, you're in a right fellowship with Him, pray confidently. Lord, I know you're listening. I know you're hearing. I know full well you're able to answer what I'm asking. And He is. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course not. So we can pray confidently. So that there's your outline as quickly as I can do it. Obediently, directly, reverently, expectantly, needfully, knowingly, persistently, fervently, specifically, thankfully, regularly, and confidently. You say, well, that's the same thing as expectantly. Well, I thought it sounded good. I thought it was just as appropriate. So, that's some ways, some manners in how we can pray. The disciples wanted to know, and so He gave them that instruction. We can learn from that and practice it accordingly. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, That's the name above every name. It's the name of the second person of the Godhead. So that's we are praying to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three, but the Godhead. With the authority of Jesus' name, in His will. Ask, Lord, help us to pray. All of us need to pray more. All of us need to pray in a fashion that is more pleasing to You. So help us in that. And it all begins with salvation. Lord, we cannot pray and say our Father unless we're saved. And so I pray that everyone in here is saved, knows Jesus as personal Savior, has been born again, saved by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When that takes place, we can say, our Father. That's directly. And then help us to pray in this fashion so that we can have that conversation with You that will not only help us, but will honor You. And this we ask, and this we pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Ann, would you just go to the piano and just softly play a melody for us? With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. Is there something that you've learned this morning? Or is there something that you need to pray about this morning? Lord, teach us to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Mary had to leave just before church started. I don't know if that was a physical need or what. She's been struggling these last few weeks since her stroke. But, you know, pray for her and Jade. Pray for each other. Glenna's not here. She hadn't been here for weeks. June was here last week. She's not here today. Joy's been out since her surgery. These are people that we know and we can pray about. Joyce is out this morning. She's always here. Let's pray about that. Rick and Ruth are out. They're usually here. There's no end to folks that we can pray for. And there are needs that we're made aware of every Wednesday night. And then there are needs upon your heart that I don't know. You and God know. What should I be doing? Praying. Praying. Okay, Miss Ann, that'll be good. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here today. For our visitors and guests, there is